God puts his stamp of approval on where he wants people to worship, the place, and the manner. Now, the church never saved anybody and never will. Salvation is totally by the Lord Jesus Christ, period. And to be saved, according to what Paul said and what he taught and what he testified, he said it requires repentance toward God. That's an acknowledgement that you're sinful, that you're lost. You've got to have a Savior. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from what you've repented from as a sinner, he saves you. That's the end of it. It's settled. It's finished. But after you get saved, that same Holy Spirit that saves you and that same Spirit of Christ that comes to permanently indwell you is not just going to stay in your soul and never try to get you to serve the same Heavenly Father that he served during his earthly ministry. And he's never going to try to stop getting you in the right place and in the manner of worship he needs for you to conduct. So when I talk about where will the bride reside eternally, the bride is not made up of all the saved. The bride are those who, after they're saved, in the future, heaven is assured for them, are chosen by God, are chosen by Christ, if you will, at his judgment seat, to live in the same city with him in heaven, to share a close, warm, personal, intimate relationship and fellowship in heaven forever. We're not talking about going to heaven. That was settled by the blood of Christ when you got saved. But we're talking about what happens to you when you get to heaven. So when I ask a saved person, do you want to be in the bride? What I'm asking you is, do you want to have a loving relationship with Christ that grows while you're here? And at his judgment seat, he selects you to live in the city with him, to stay there with him. We're not talking about going to heaven. Heaven's a big place. It's a new heaven and a new earth. This is the final dwelling place of all the saved on a new heaven and a new earth. In Revelation 21, 1 through 3, and then going to the end of the chapter so we can see a little bit more about it, verses 22 through 26. In verse 1 he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more water, no more sea." Now there are some preachers who believe that God is going to rehab what we have here. They could be right. I don't believe that, but it's possible. Now, this is a new heaven and a new earth. This table is made of some form of either synthetic or wood. It has a certain chemical composition. When God made the material creation, he made all the things you can see on a periodic chemistry chart in a chemistry class. Hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, zinc, lead, aluminum, potassium, chloride. He made all those things. And that's what all this is made of. But what are angels made of? They're here in this room and you can't see them. And yet in the Old Testament, they suddenly would appear, manifest themselves in this material creation. What kind of material is that? And Jesus Christ in his resurrected glorified body could suddenly appear behind closed doors and could suddenly vanish from people's eyes. What kind of material is that? My friend, it's not all material out of chemistry chart. So I'm one of those preachers that believes when God makes a new heaven and a new earth, it's going to be made of the same stuff that the glorified body is made of, whatever that is. And the same stuff that angels are made of, whatever that is. And it's not going to be made of the same stuff. This stuff passes away. It's temporal. But this is an eternal kingdom. Now, some of you are young, and it's hard for you to believe you're ever going to die. And I understand that. Oh, if I ask you, are you going to die? You'd say, yes. But if I ask you, are you going to die today? Why, certainly not. That's always in the future. When you get older, it's a little easier to realize that death is approaching. You're going to have to spend somewhere eternally. Now, you're either going to spend it in hell and eventually be cast into a lake of fire and stay there forever. And that's reality. That's what God says, and that's the truth. You're either going to spend it there in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels and all those who wouldn't come to Christ. And if you're saved, you're not going to spend it there. If you've exercised repentance toward God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven.
But after you get that question settled and you know you're going to heaven, where do you want to live in heaven? How do you want to live in heaven? How much joy do you want to have? And it's going to be you, the personality. It's going to be you. How much joy do you want to have forever? And that's what the question, do you want to be in the bride, is about. If you're saved, then God makes you eligible to be selected as being faithful in His sight, as a woman is faithful to her husband, so that forever you can dwell in His immediate proximity. So where will the bride reside eternally? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Well, first of all, let's continue with verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is made out of the same stuff that angels are made out of and glorified bodies are made out of, and only God understands that, and I don't. But I don't think it's the same substance here. This is a New Jerusalem. It's not a material, physical Jerusalem. It's a spiritual Jerusalem, and it's real. And all the saved are going to be on that new heaven and new earth. It's a big earth, and it's a big city. And everybody has a place to dwell on it. So what I'm really asking you is, do you want to dwell inside the city with Jesus, or do you want to dwell outside the city? Now, don't worry. Outside the city, there's not going to be a little corner in the cabin of glory land where you sit out there and all you've got is an old wood furnace and you're freezing to death half the time. It's going to be marvelous outside the city, but it's going to be a whole lot more marvelous inside. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as. I circled that with red and put yellow in the center because that's a simile. Now, the reason I did that is because there are preachers who teach that the city is the bride. That is not true. The city, the holy Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, is not the bride, because it says prepared as. That's a simile. It means like a bride adorned for her husband. So John paints a picture of a beautiful city that is so beautiful that he compares it to the ornament that a Jewish bride wore. I don't know, I wish I had put a picture up here of a Jewish bride and what she wears. I mean, she is decked out, and she looks like the 4th of July. I mean, she's dressed beautifully. And so he wants them to get a picture. He has to use an earthly simile to say this city is going to be beautiful, just like a Hebrew bride when she's adorned for her husband. But the city is not the bride. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. Now we are going to talk about the bride. Now we are going to show the bride. The bride is not the city, but the bride consists of the faithful who has served God in His local New Testament church. Now, I've had people that get into wild arguments, and they say, is Abraham going to be in the city? Is Jacob going to be in the city? Is Isaac going to be in the city? What about Enoch? What about the faithful? Look, they're all dead. And you didn't live in that dispensation of time. And preachers argue more about stuff that's not going to affect them anyway. But if they just stop and say, well, what about me? What about now? I was born in the Bible Belt in Augusta, Arkansas. I've been exposed to the teaching of a local New Testament church and what it is. I'm not going to be in that bride if I'm not faithful in God's local New Testament church. And if that local New Testament church isn't the body of Christ to me, and I'm not trying to please God in it, I'm not going to be in the bride, and neither any of you, because you've been exposed to the truth and you know the truth. And He will dwell with them. Aha! With who? The bride. Now, God is going to dwell in the city, personified as the glorified Son of God, Jesus Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead will dwell bodily. And those who live with Him in the city are going to have an opportunity to intimately fellowship with Him, to listen to what He has to say, to work for Him, to learn for Him, and for all eternity, that position is going to be inside that city with Him. I want that. I desire it. I want it. Now, every man, every woman has to answer it for themselves after they get saved. Is this what you want, or do you want something else? Well, the else is to live outside the New Jerusalem. And that's certainly not vague. It's wonderful.
The question is, do you want the best that God has waiting for you in heaven? Or do you want second best? I want the best. I may not live in that city. The Lord may not deem my service to have been faithful enough. I may not have grown spiritually enough. I may not have yielded my life enough to the Lord. And I admit it and I confess it. But this is something that God wants every one of us to try to do. And he will dwell with them, and they, that's the bride, shall be his people, that's the bride. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now that doesn't mean that he won't be the God of the people who are living on the new earth outside the city. And that doesn't mean that they'll never get to see him. And that doesn't mean they're going to be shut up in a purgatory of misery and whipping and spanking. It means that they're going to be happy and joyous outside the city, but forever they will have an awareness that the reason they are not in that city, in the immediate proximity of where God has chosen to personify himself in the person of Christ, is because in this life they didn't want it. Other things are more important to them. Their homes, money, finance, achievements, and the church was just somewhere they came because God's Spirit told them in their hearts they needed to be there. These people are committed. These people want God's will done in their life. It's up to you, after you get saved, whether or not you want to spend eternity in that city right where God is forever. And I guarantee you, one day this will be very real. And the best thing you can do is to heed it before it happens, so that when you are there in the new heaven, on the new earth, that you'll be as close to Christ as is possible by the surrender of your heart and life to him and serving in the local church where he meant to be saved. And I saw no temple therein. There wasn't a temple inside the city. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. They are the temple of the holy city itself. It is the holy city. And the city, that's the holy city of Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. That's just the kind of glory of Almighty God. And we've been tracing the stamp of approval that God put on each dispensation of time. This is the final dispensation of time. And this is God's stamp of approval on that place. It is the most desirous place to be. And the glory of God shall shine out from that city. And the Lamb is the light thereof. We're celebrating actually Passover because the word Easter is a translation of the word Passover. It only appears once in the Bible. It occurred on the 14th of Nisan. It was when the sacrificial lamb was offered for all the sins of Israel. And Jesus came and as a man fulfilled that for all men, as he, the sacrificial Lamb of God, sacrificed himself for our sins. He's been resurrected from the dead, given a name that is above every name, as the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And he's the light of the city. Well, what about those people that were saved? And God's Spirit led them, encouraged them, wanted them to become a part of his local body. Does God not love them? Does God not care for them? Is it impossible for them to serve God? Certainly not, and many do. Now, where are they going to be on the new heaven and new earth? And the nations of them. And the nations of them. These are the saved of all the ages. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk, notice that word, in the light of it, the city. The light of God will illuminate the city with a brilliance beyond our wildest imagination. That is the full exposition of the Shekinah glory of God. And the light of God will shine outside that city and lighten the entire earth. And on that new earth, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The saved, who never went on, shall make a full commitment to God to do the best they knew how to serve him in his church. Will be on the new heaven, and I praise God's Son's name for it. And they will walk in the light of the city, and they will be joyously happy, and they will not be jealous of those who are in the city. They will not be envious, because those virtues, supposedly called virtues of the flesh, will no longer be there.
They'll walk outside the city in the light of the city, and I praise the Son of God's name for that. And they won't be what you call second-class citizens that have to ride the back of the bus. They'll be children of God, and they'll be happy. But the happiest people in the kingdom of God will be those inside the city who, in the dispensation of time in which they live, decided it was better to live for Christ here and suffer whatever the price, to assure in heaven that they would be in the immediate proximity of where God was and could forever fellowship intimately and closely with Him and learn the things He had to teach. And the kings of the earth, aha, there are kings of the earth over these saints. Who are the kings of the earth? There are people today who aren't in New Testament churches, but who preach the gospel, who preach the word, in whom the Spirit of God leads them to surrender to Christ, and they preach and teach, and they try to do God's will. They never will unite with a church. It's too much of a commitment, perhaps. It's too narrow. And if you are trying to do what God wants in a local New Testament church, you're not going to be all that popular in the community. You're not going to be all that well-liked. And there's a price to pay. But there are some people who are not members of the Lord's churches, who are extremely popular, and who, as preachers, preach and teach the word, and they do God's work. God's Spirit does not just indwell the local New Testament church. God's Spirit indwells the local New Testament church in a special way, just as He will actually indwell that heavenly Jerusalem in a special way. And those in the world who are saved by grace through faith are saved by the same Holy Spirit. But the fullness of God that filleth all in all, and the best that God has to offer you, is in the local church. So these kings of the earth are those who were, if you will, the most faithful outside of the church that tried to serve God. You say, well, what about all the other ages? Won't some of them be kings? Yes, but they're all dead. You're the living. I'm the living. We need to concentrate on what's going to cause God to select us and where we're going to be positionally. Without going into all this argument about where Abraham's going to be and Enoch and David, we need to stay away from that and concentrate on whether or not we're going to be in the bride in heaven. Now, I believe the bride is made up of the faithful in God's local New Testament churches. I don't believe the church personified, the church is the bride. I think God selects out of the local New Testament church those that are faithful. I think there's God's church role, if you will, rather than ours. Those whom God deems to be faithful in His church. I don't believe anyone will be in the bride of Christ except those who were faithful in His New Testament church. But to be honest with you, how can you set Abraham and Isaac and Jacob out? How can you blame them because they weren't born in this dispensation of time? And if Abraham is the father of our faith and was faithful in the age of the patriarchs, and God calls him the father of our faith, how can you set Abraham out of that city? Abraham will be in the city, but Abraham was not born in the church age, and the distinction that we have as local New Testament churches is that this group that comes out of the church will be called and identified for all eternity as the bride. But believe me, there are going to be a whole lot of people in there that were faithful in their dispensation of time, but they weren't living in the time of the local New Testament churches. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. They come in. They get to have an audience with the Lord. They get to see the Lord. I don't think the Lord's just never going to have any communication with those people outside the city and never have any communication with the kings. I think He will. But the bride will be eternally in the city, and it will be a daily thing with them forever. And that's what I want. I hope I'm not a spiritual fool. That's what I want. And if you really believe what this says, I don't see why you don't want it also. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. I don't think that the Lord's just going to stay inside that city and never wander out. I think a lot of the people outside the gates will get seen once in a while. Somehow or other, I just can't see a click in heaven where God is so unmerciful. No, I just don't see that. But I do see a close, warm, personal, intimate relationship for those within the city that those out the city don't have. And they, who's they? The kings of the earth. And they, the kings of the earth, shall bring the glory and honor. Don't tell me there won't be any glory and honor outside the New Jerusalem. And don't tell me God doesn't get glory outside the church. God does. Every soul that has ever been saved was for the honor and glory of God. And God saves souls outside the church. And the Holy Spirit operates outside the church. But he dwells in a special way with all of his fullness in each local New Testament church. So in verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations. Well, who are the nations? Verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And so there will be honor and glory outside the city. And the kings, those who were faithful, and yet they were not in local churches, they're going to come in. And they're going to bring that glory and honor into the city. Revelation 22, 16, 17, 20, 12, 11, and 7. And it's, I'm going to try to finish this. I should be able to finish it in a couple of minutes, and I think this will probably be the last tape in this series, and I know Bob will be glad. Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, mine angelos, my messenger, to testify unto you these things in the scriptures. This was written to local, visible assembly of scripturally baptized people who were coveted together to carry out the teachings that Christ delivered to the first New Testament church during his earthly ministry. It's those people who believe in salvation by grace, security of the believer, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church, the Lord suffers a closed ordinance of the church, as the church is local and visible. That's who this was testified to, because that's what all those churches believe. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger, my angel, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Notice what he says in verse 17. And the Spirit. Don't tell me the Spirit of God doesn't work outside the New Testament church. And the Spirit and the bride say. When you say the Spirit, he's the one who does all this. He told Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Spirit and the bride. Notice he puts the bride in a very prominent position in this verse before the other types in it. The bride represents the faithful that come out of the local New Testament church. And here's what we are supposed to say to a lost and dying world. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Notice that's capitalized, C-O-M-E. And that is an invitation that the Spirit gives to the church. That's our great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now let's move outside the church. And let him that heareth say, come. Notice that come is also capitalized. And let him that heareth, who is that? And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's the saved. And anyone that's saved, even though he's not a member of the church, is expected to invite others to come to Christ and to find the Savior that he or she found. And then notice the next person is not giving an invitation. He's the one who receives it, because at the end of this, the word come is not capitalized. And let him that is athirst. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A thirsting and a hungering to want to be saved and to have the assurance that he is yours and you are his, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the invitation the bride is giving. That's the invitation the saved man is giving. And this is the one who comes to receive it. And let him that is athirst come. And then to make sure that there won't be any question, he says, whosoever will, whosoever is willing, let him take the water of life, the eternal life given by Christ. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Notice, freely. It's a free, unmerited gift of God given by grace. And so, for all practical purposes, this closes the series on the church, and it's the kind of glory and the place and manner of worship, and this will be the last tape in the series. I hope as we've gone through this, and it's been 14